You're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 56. And in this episode, we are going to debrief my $170,000 launch of the five-figure challenge, the good, the bad, the ad spend, and the ugly. So with that being said, let's do it. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, you guys? Welcome to another episode of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 56. And it's crazy to think it's been over a year since this show started. We've been having our biggest download months ever. And I just wanted to take a quick second before we dove in to say thank you so much to everyone that follows the show, that has left us a review. If you haven't left a review and you want to, we always appreciate that. But it's really you guys that keep me going, and I just wanted to let you all know how much I appreciate each and every one of you for downloading, listening, tuning in, and just being part of this awesome community. So on today's episode, I want to do a debrief of one of our most recent major launches, and I actually went back and forth about recording this episode because we kind of do a debrief for most of our launches. We've done one for basically every launch up to this point, and I went into my private Facebook group, the Heart Hustlers on Facebook. If you're not a part of that group, you can go to hearthustlers.com and join. And I threw up a quick question asking if people wanted this, because in my mind, I don't ever want to just be like, you know, look how great our launches are. Look how awesome I am. I always want to make sure it's something that, you know, you guys actually want. And the feedback from my audience was that you guys really love these episodes and that I should definitely do a debrief of our biggest launch ever. So with that being said, I decided to go in and do it. Now, I want to do this launch debrief a little bit different. Now, normally when I do a major debrief, I split it up into multiple episodes, but I don't think we have to do that. And I'll tell you why. This is a relaunch of a product we already launched in the past. So if you want the intricacies of our launch, you want to know all of that stuff, we'll link up past episodes in the show notes where I've done a debrief of this actual launch process. But I want to do this one a little bit differently. First, I want to keep it to just one episode. That's the first thing. The second thing, I want to talk about what went really well and what went really not well and how that affected our launch as a whole. Believe it or not, we came up actually a little shorter on our goals than we would have liked during this launch, but we went through and figured out exactly what happened, why it happened, and I really want to share that with you so that whether you're doing your first $1,000, $10,000, or $100,000 launch, you can kind of take what we've learned and what we've seen and use it to get better results with your launch. So let's start by talking real quick about what the product was, just in case you haven't seen the launch or you don't even know what we launched. I launched my program called the Five-Figure Challenge, which is a complete training program and set of templates, tools, walkthroughs that shows you how to structure your own five-day challenge to leverage it as a $10,000 plus launch. Now, this is the exact same structure that I've been using for my five-day challenges that have done everything from $10,000 in sales up to $170,000 in sales. We've also had a ton of student success stories. So this is just one of my absolute favorite programs. It's super close to my heart, and it's priced at $997 or six payments of $197. We also only open it during our launches. It's not currently open for enrollment. We don't sell it all year round. It's a launch-only program, okay? So I like to just start there so you know what it is that we're launching. So let's just get into the numbers because that's what everybody wants to know. So in total, our sales generated were about $173,000. Now, to put that into perspective, that means that if everybody who chose the six pay option pays us, we'll get $173,000 collected total. The total cash we generated, meaning the amount that's already been paid to us as of that initial launch, was right around $70,000. So first things first, I want to make super clear that not everybody pays in full, and not everybody sees you through to the end of the program. So you will have some people fall off the payment plan. You will have some people that request refunds. We're still within our 60-day refund period at the time that I'm recording this. It's totally normal to get refunds. I don't care what your business model is. I don't care what industry you're in. Even Walmart builds into their budget for refunds. So just know those are some things that, because of the time I'm recording this, I want it to be current and relevant and fresh, but some of that data will change a little bit. So we did about $70,000 in cash collected and about $170,000 in total sales. Now, something that we looked at that was very interesting was we recently added PayPal to our payment options. In the past, we launched with different software that only let us accept credit cards and Stripe payments. And what was really interesting was 30% of our projected sales were because of PayPal. So if you're not currently using PayPal, just a little side note here, I would definitely get it into your marketing system because it ended up generating a ton of results for us. Now, when all was said and done, we'd sold about 153 total spots to the program. And I say about, but it actually was exactly 153 spots because I'm looking at the data right now. So we ended up selling 153 spots into the program, which was about a 2.5% conversion rate because we had just over 6,000 people sign up for our launch. And that's people who signed up for our webinars, signed up for the 5-day challenge. Those were people, that was the total number of leads that we had in the promotion. Now, our total ad spend was about $15,250. So I know I just threw a ton of stats at you, but this is the stuff that everybody wants to know. I'm not afraid to pull back the curtains and share with you a little bit. Just to walk you through what I basically shared, in total, we did about $173,000 in sales. That's assuming full payments on payment plans. Doesn't always happen, but that's how sales works. We then talked about our total ad spend. We spent about $15,250 on ads. In total, we brought 6,000 people into the promotion, 6,040 and some change, so right around 6,000. And we had a 2.5% conversion rate because we sold 153 spots in the program. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about this data before we go into the good stuff. I mean, in my mind, these are some really great numbers, and not just in my mind, on paper too, because I can see what our results looked like. So all of these stats are really great, but I kind of just threw them at you. So let's walk through some of these stats and start talking about the stuff that worked really, really well in the launch. So one of our major missteps and something that we're going to have in place for our next launch is we were really lacking team structure and team systems, and that really falls on my shoulders. My team does an incredible job with what they have to work with, and I'm absolutely grateful for every single one of them. But within the launch, it became clear that there were a couple of gaps that I need to fill going forward. One perfect example is we ended up having a pixel error on one of our Facebook ads, and I didn't know it. And so for a couple of days in the promotion, Facebook was telling us we were getting, you know, $20 leads, $30 leads. And these were the exact ads, you know, with some minor tweaks that we had done in the past, where in our last launch, we ended up spending right around, I believe, like $8 a lead maximum. When we started, we were only spending $3 or $4 a lead. So we were talking about a 10x increase in lead cost within the first few days of promotion. And that definitely didn't feel right. And we were running around trying to figure it out. And at one point, we had a day where our cost per lead clocked in at $245 a lead. Now, that gave me a little heart attack. So I reached out to our ads person. And basically, we found out that one of our pixels wasn't firing. And it's really easy in those moments to kind of get upset and be like, well, why wasn't that fixed? Or why didn't we look at that? But when I went back, I realized checking the pixels was something that I had told my team I was going to do. And I kind of in my mind thought they were going to do it. And there wasn't a really clear written structure of who should be checking those pixels. So something that I'm really unhappy that I have to tell you on this episode, but I have to tell you, is that we can't really share too much data on how much we spent per lead because it's just not accurate. We ended up having this massive accuracy issue with our ads. So even in these big launches, one of the big takeaways for me was, even though we had this massive launch where like, that sucks, we don't really know what we spent per lead with our challenge, we still got really great results. We still stayed super profitable. We still got amazingly wonderful results. And that really brings us to something that worked super well for our launch, which was this time we brought in affiliates. And I put up so much resistance to affiliates for a really, really long time. And for those of you listening that don't really know what is an affiliate or how do you bring affiliates in, an affiliate is somebody who's able to sell your product for a commission, right? So every time somebody brings a lead into our promotion, right? Let's say Bob drives traffic to our challenge. We give Bob a special link that tracks all of his traffic. And if somebody who signs up for the challenge through Bob ends up buying the program, we give him a 40% commission on the sale price. Now, at first, I put up a ton of resistance to affiliates because I was like, well, I have to pay 40% or I have to give away 40% of that. And then I quickly realized that that's not really what's happening here. You know, you have to really change the way that you think about affiliates and how they affect your launch. So when we change our mindset, what you have to realize is that you're actually just paying your affiliates a cost per action, which is an old school marketing term, but I think it's so important to understand this. In old school marketing, and even still some companies do this now, something called cost per action marketing means I'm only paying them when someone they've sent to me takes a specific action. So if I crunch the numbers in my promotion, I'm paying, you know, $150 to $200 per person that buys my product. So even if I don't work with an affiliate, I'm still paying money to acquire a customer. We talk about, you know, cost per lead, but you can actually look at your cost per acquisition, your CPA, your customer acquisition cost, and see that you're generally, with a high ticket program, talking about $100, $200, $300 to get one sale. Now, that can be a little daunting when I say it like that, but what you need to understand is that means for every, you know, $150, $200 I spent, I make $1,000. Not a bad way to go. Now, when I'm working with an affiliate, I don't pay for promotion. I don't pay for their time. I don't pay for their ad spend. So part of it is I'm giving them a little extra because they're doing the work, but all I have to do is close the sale. So working with affiliates, it can be easy to be like, well, then I have to pay out this percentage or I have to give away part of my revenue. But I was really introduced to this by James Wedmore, this concept of, you're not losing money on affiliates. It's just the opposite. You're paying someone to do all the work and you're closing them in a promotion you're already doing. You're not losing money. You're generating sales that would not have previously existed. And because of that, you're paying a bounty on them. So we brought in affiliates and we absolutely loved working with affiliates. We ended up doing just over a third of our sales were a result of affiliates, which was pretty cool, something we were not expecting. So our affiliates ended up generating a lot of sales, and something that we see is pretty much normal. Over 80% of the sales came from 20% of affiliates. The 80-20 rule, I've talked about it on the show before, but something that this means we should be paying attention to is make sure that if you decide to get affiliates for your launch, that you're bringing in some like all-star players. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my students. I have fantastic student affiliates. We've worked with great student affiliates in the past. But when someone has a massive audience or a massive list or even massive influence, they don't need to have a big list or a big audience. We had people with a small list or a smaller list that ended up top three, top five. So just know that your top affiliates are going to do most of the work. So you don't need 100 affiliates to have a great affiliate launch. You need a handful of top tier affiliates. And then we let all our students come in because we love our students. Why wouldn't we want to let people share a product they love? Why wouldn't we want to encourage our students to make some extra money? The way that I positioned within my affiliates was I said, hey, we want to pay you $25,000. That was our goal from day one. We wanted our affiliates to get $25,000 in commission. We ended up right around that number. So I was very, very thrilled with that. So affiliates worked incredible for us. Just a couple of quick affiliate tips, because this could be its own episode. And we actually talked about affiliate marketing with Tiffany Biomaster, Coach Glitter, in a way earlier episode, like one of the OG episodes. I think it's like episode 8 or 9. We'll link it up in the show notes. But just some quick notes. Number one, remember that 20% of your affiliates will do like 80% of your affiliate sales. So make sure you get some top level affiliates if you're looking to do that. Number two, you have to encourage your affiliates and make it easy for them to promote. So we gave them email copy, swipe copy, Facebook ad copy, images, pictures, quotes, timelines. We sent them emails almost every other day of the promotion telling them what they could do to push more sales. You want to really make sure that you're encouraging your affiliates. And then number three, leaderboards and incentivizing. So on top of the commission that they'll be paid out, we also give away affiliate prizes. Yes, cash incentivizes people enough in some ways, but we love giving out prizes. I did an affiliate contest, a couple affiliate contests last year, where on one, I won a little retreat in Mexico, which was really cool. And on another, I won a spa day and I won this really awesome Bluetooth speaker that I still use like almost every morning while I'm making my coffee or when I have people over, a little bit of entertainment value. And I realized that those prizes really give people something tangible to shoot for. You know, they don't necessarily see exactly how much commission everybody else is collecting, but they do see a leaderboard. So that third quick tip is get a leaderboard up in your affiliate group or sending out in your email. Incentivize people and build some healthy competition, because that really results in more sales when all is said and done. So our affiliates worked incredibly well for us. And I think that that moves us perfectly into this next piece of something that went super, super well for us, but also kind of created a negative for us as well. And that was changing the way that I ran this launch to be less of a teacher and more of a coach. So you might have heard me talking about this on the show in recent episodes. It's something that's slowly been surfacing as I've been working with my mentors and my mastermind group. And that is that I really enjoy teaching and kind of consulting and telling people what to do. And at one of my mastermind's events, I was listening to James Wedmore talk, and he was saying that just giving people the answers is robbing people of a breakthrough. And at first I was like, no, people pay good money. They just want you to give them the answer. And he kind of said like, yeah, they want the answer, but just giving the answer isn't always the best solution. Sometimes asking the right questions and facilitating a breakthrough is more important than just saying, here's your answer. And I had really, to be completely transparent, built up in my mind that if I didn't just give people the answers in a launch, if I didn't just show up and tell people what to do, that people would not see me as a professional, people would not see me as an expert or an authority, and that my launch would fail. So the last time we launched this product, I personally responded to every comment in our 5-day challenge, which ended up being over 2,000 comments. And it was exhausting and it was frustrating and it made me a little resentful of my business. And I didn't like that feeling. And so I ended up talking to my mastermind group and talking to James about this. And the consensus was that I needed to be less of a teacher and more of a coach and a facilitator. So I kind of skipped over this, but just so you guys know, we did a 5-day challenge and 3 webinars as our launch. So for 5 days, we did a 5-day challenge and then 3 webinars. That's how we sold it, with a 1-week card open. So when the challenge started this time, I stepped back and said, okay, everybody find an accountability partner. I put a post in there. I encourage people. I sent emails about this. And then in the first email in the first live stream, I basically straight up said, we have over 3,000 people in this challenge. I can't comment on everything as much as I want to. It physically isn't possible. As much as I want to, I just can't. So here's what I want you to do. I will show up and I will ask really good questions. I will encourage you. I will show up on the live streams and answer all your questions as we're there. I still showed up in the group and dropped answers, but I limited it to about an hour a day so that I was fully present for my launch and my audience and still able to be creative and in touch with my team. And that facilitation ended up being a huge breakthrough, not just for me, but for my audience. So the first thing was I got way more thank you emails than I ever had, which was bizarre. I thought that I was going to get nasty grams and people were going to talk about how I don't help them. But people actually felt like creating a community and facilitating a community was way more powerful than me being the all-knowing answer giver, right? Number two, I really saw some rising stars. And I want to give a massive shout out to Lindy Lewis, who ended up joining our program. And I watched firsthand as this happened. She really committed on day one to like stepping out of her comfort zone and really just being a leader in that group. And when Lindy decided to join our premium program, other people followed her. And it was so incredible to watch leaders emerge in my own community. It was just the most incredible, rewarding experience for me. And I'm sure it was for them too, because now they have this exposure. They are leaders in this group. People are following them. People are watching them. But the really amazing part happened after the doors closed. Because I led the launch to be facilitated by me and not reliant on me, inside our paid community, everyone is supporting each other, which just makes my heart so full. I can't even tell you guys. It's incredible. I know that sometimes I have to travel. Sometimes I have to get on a plane and I'm out of touch for 24 hours. It happens. It's part of what I do. And in the past, being out of touch would not necessarily give me anxiety, but give me this unease of like, okay, I have to be on this plane for 8 hours, or I have to be traveling for 8 hours. So at the first airport, I need to find like 20 minutes to get on and answer questions, and or else that whole group is going to feel like I'm not there for them and nothing is happening. And now I can step away from work, which is so important. And this is a little selfish, I know, but I think it's important to know that it's okay to be a little selfish in your business. I can step away from the premium group for 24, 48 hours or the weekend. Sometimes I take the weekends off now, which is crazy. And I know it's not going to cave in because I facilitated instead of making people rely on me. And so this light bulb moment came to me, which is I built a business letting people rely on me, which isn't a bad thing. And I still have people that rely on me, clients and people in my community. And I still have to step in and give answers and provide value, right? That's all still important. But by creating a community of facilitation, people aren't relying on me to get the breakthroughs they need. I've essentially found this way to give myself freedom while creating more freedom for my audience. And that was a big realization for me. And so if you're listening to this and you feel like I have to be everywhere, I have to do everything, this was honestly the biggest breakthrough of my launch. And I recorded an episode of this show about, you know, how to launch without stressing. I took multiple days off during my launch. I spent time with people who were important in my life during my launch. And 2 years ago in my business, my launches would have been, don't talk to me, I'm launching. Don't expect me to be sleeping, I'm launching. Don't expect me to be reasonable, I'm launching. My family would get calls, my mom, my stepdad, my dad, they would all get calls and I'd be like, listen, I'm launching this week. So if I'm edgy or irritable, like that's what it is. Sorry in advance. And this time I wasn't. Like people kept asking me like, are you still launching? Cause like you're in such a good mood, which was crazy. And like that was a big part of that secret. And so even though it honestly, like, you know, if you have kids listening, earmuffs, because I'm going to drop a little curse here, it scared the shit out of me to admit this to you as my listeners, that I was a little selfish in this launch and that I let my community build itself and I facilitated that. But honestly, it created some of the biggest breakthroughs for me. It created some of the biggest breakthroughs for my community. And it really showed me that showing up 8 hours a day is not what people are expecting from you. They're expecting you to lead. They're expecting you to show up powerfully when you do show up. And what they really want is to feel empowered. And I'm just so grateful that my community shined that way and that so many leaders emerged. And I'm especially grateful to my mentor, my mastermind group, for really helping me come to that realization. Now, I told you that there was this one little downside that came to this, and honestly, not enough to change the launch or even be upset. But one thing that happened was I talk about this concept of the gap when I'm launching. You know, how do you show people this gap that exists in their business, their life, and prove to them that your program can fill it? And something that happened was, as people were facilitating the group and as people were kind of building each other up, some people got what I would call false confidence. And I don't mean this in a negative way at all. I love when people take my free information and go out and make money. But I saw a few people in the group who were like, I have everything I need to follow Zach's system. And in the nicest way possible, they don't. Because I know what's inside my program. There's these intricacies that you can't observe them, right? As much as I think you can watch what I'm doing and reverse engineer, there's intricacies you can't see. There's audiences we set up. There's ads we run. There's ways we structure the pages. There's positioning techniques and workbooks and flowcharts and timing and timers and scarcity tactics. And it was really interesting because in my last launch, it was very clear that that gap existed, that there was much more to learn. And I realized that's because I was there answering questions, telling people, yes, you have this, but you still need X, Y, Z. And this time, because the community was facilitating each other, they were building up real confidence, very true confidence, without realizing there were still missing pieces. And so I don't necessarily have a solution to this, other than we will go through before we launch again and evaluate the content and see what content is missing. And are we making it very clear that this is just the tip of the iceberg? There's a whole bunch more under the surface of the water. What can we do to really promote that message and get it out there that there is more to this launch than just 5 days of free content? And more to this program than just 5 days of free content. So it was a double-edged sword in a way, but at the end of the day, our launch increased, we made more money, and like I said, the feedback from the launch was five-star incredible. And so did it hurt our sales numbers a little bit? Absolutely. Would I consider it a negative for our launch? From a sales perspective, yes, but from a growth and breakthrough perspective, I think this is the best thing that could have happened because it really exposed to me that by not being completely hands-on, you have to do things to make sure you're communicating effectively with your audience alongside of facilitating. And this was just, like I said, an absolute breakthrough for me. And so my hope is any of you listening who are starting to feel overwhelmed by your launches, who maybe do Facebook groups with your launches, or you have a ton of people commenting on your stuff during a launch, and you're starting to feel like that silly putty, right? Where you pull it both ways. And at the beginning, it totally stretches. But once you get maybe a foot apart, it starts to droop and fall apart and make a mess. We don't need to be silly putty. We just have to find that balance. And no one's expecting you to show up for every single person. I don't think anyone in this launch signed up thinking, wow, if Zach gets 3,000 people in here, he's going to respond to all 3,000 people on an individual basis every single day. I was the one who set that expectation. And no one was upset when it changed. You know, we got one negative feedback the whole launch, and that was it. So really becoming a facilitator and asking really powerful questions versus just teaching what you know can create a really dynamic experience for everyone. Now, the last thing that I want to touch on that was really powerful this launch was the power of my team. And I want to give a really awesome shout out to Carrie Sweetman at Systems Envy, who helps us with our Facebook ads, and Danielle, who is my right hand, for really taking charge of this launch and making it so effortless. And I think that I'm going to be a little bold here and say that part of this was over time, I've let my team take real control over the things that I don't need to be stressed about or that are not my focus for the launch. So in the past, Facebook ads, like I'm in it, around it, and all up through it. I want to know what we're running, when we're running, how we're running. I want stats. I want details. I want to check in every day. I have the Facebook ads app on my phone and I probably refresh it to the point that it's an obsession on a day-to-day basis. But during this launch, I was like, the ads are not my concern, because if I try to worry about the ads, I have to spread my attention over to something that Carrie's already doing. Customer service emails. Like, normally I'm in there responding, and I responded to a couple this launch, but this time I completely handed it over to Danielle and was like, I can't worry about this right now, right? And luckily my team is so understanding. They love to be empowered that way. And I said that, like, you know, like, I just want to give you full control over this. If you need me, we have proper communication channels inside of Slack that you just drop me a message and I give you a quick answer. But I really let my team take control. We also hired a girl, Lily, who managed one of our chat boxes during the launch. So we also had a live chat box on the sales page, and Danielle and Lily did about 90% of those. There were like two times where they couldn't be online. No worries. I took over for an hour or two. But for the most part, I didn't even have to deal with customer service, customer support. And I know that that sounds kind of like you didn't have to deal with it, but it takes up a lot of headspace during the launch, and it allowed me to really show up and facilitate the community and give really great webinar presentations and really take care of myself. Because if you've launched before, you know how freaking stressful it can be. Like, the weight of this launch is on your shoulders. And something that's starting to really become clear to me as I scale my business to the next level is, you know, it's not just me relying on this launch, right? It's my team. It's my Facebook ads person and my social media person and my designer and my right hand. Like, if my launch goes super poor, I don't have a way to pay them, right? Now, luckily, we have systems in our business, and I keep a nice little nest egg in the business that it wouldn't be quite that volatile or terrible. We could have a failed launch and everybody would survive. But other people are relying on the results. And that's a totally new feeling. And so hopefully this is like a little Jedi wisdom for you. As other people start to rely on the results, you have to give other people partial responsibility for the results. And I was so scared to do that. But I referenced it earlier, and I'm going to say it again. If this is sounding like too good to be true, like, seriously, go listen to the How to Launch Without Stressing Yourself to Death episode, because this was the most painless launch I did. Even when our numbers were a little low, which I'll talk about in a second, I'll bring this all back around. Even when our numbers were lower, when things stalled out, I wasn't panicked. I wasn't going from 0 to 60 in total breakdown mode. Everything was manageable because I let other people manage it. And as you're growing, you might not be ready for a team, but even if you have one VA, or even if you're thinking about doing a launch and you have no VAs, or you have no one on your team, or you've never worked with anybody before, can you take something that is stressing you out and give it to someone else? Yes, for a cost. I know. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I write it in a lot of my blog posts when we're talking about starting from zero. It's like, yes, you have to put a little money in, right? Because at the end of the day, the expenses on this launch that we're estimating in total were about $47,000, which means our projected profit is about $125,000. Because we paid for advertising, because we paid our affiliates, because we paid the team, because we paid an ads manager, because we bought prizes for our affiliates. Don't be afraid to put a little money in for peace of mind. There's a story that I've told on this podcast before, and I know I'm just kind of stream of consciousness with this episode, but I think that this is sometimes how you get the best content. It's a little different. It's a little, I'm in your ear just sharing what we did. So I hope you like it, but I want to share this quick little story with you, which is when I first hired James Wedmore, it was a $20,000 a year investment. And that was a petrifying amount of money at the time that I hired him. And we did a call, and he asked me why I was thinking about hiring him. I told him that I had been on a webinar with him. I was watching him do a training, and he ended it on time because he had to go surfing. And he said that on the webinar. He's like, well, guys, I got to go. You know, I think it was 7:30. It's like, it's 7:30. I got to go because the sun's going to set and I need to catch some surf before the end of the day. And in that moment, I remember I had built my business up to 6 figures at that point. And I remember thinking, there's no way I could do that. I could never just end my day at 4:30 because I want to go to the beach. Like, that's not going to happen. And during this launch, I realized that, yeah, I did have expenses. Yeah, I paid a lot in ads and affiliates and team costs and ads and prizes. But there was a day, or there were several days that I took off that were incredible days. for personal reasons and non-personal reasons, but to be able to step away from the launch and to still be able to support my team and support my community and support my vision, it was incredible. It's something that I wish for anyone listening. And that for me was the biggest breakthrough of this launch. Like, yeah, it was six figures in projected profit, which is awesome. And yeah, we're collecting great revenue and great checks. And I'm doing really well financially from this launch. But I feel like this launch is where I started to get my life back. And I've been working on this for the past really 6 to 12 months, a little, I'm sometimes public about it. I'm sometimes quiet about it. I'm a recovering workaholic and I kind of know that. And this really came clear to me one of the days of my launch that I took off. I got to have dinner with my mom and my stepdad. They were in town. I got to have lunch with them. And my mom said something that just kills me, which was, she said, you used to be like crazy work. Like, I was worried about you and how much you were working and how head down you were all the time. And that was the first time I had realized that other people were being affected by my workaholicness, so to speak. And, that was just a really incredible feeling of, like, I can work and I can fulfill my vision and I can, straight up sell hundreds of a digital course and I can still enjoy my life. And I hope that this is like a real takeaway for you. And I hope that this doesn't just come across as like, look how great I am. That's always one of my biggest fears when I record episodes like this, is that it'll just come across showy or like, look how great I am. But in my debrief, that was something that I wrote down. And every time I think about this launch, that's something that I wrote down, that this is where I'm really starting to command the power of letting go of things that don't serve me and letting go of things that maybe I love them, but I don't have to stress about them. Right? Like, I love Facebook ads. Like, everybody listening, you guys know I love Facebook ads, but during a launch, they stress me out. They don't become a source of enjoyment for me. They become a source of like stress and anxiety. And so why can't I pay a little bit of money and let someone else manage them? Right? And maybe you can't do this during your first launch, but one of the really big messages that I want to communicate to you is that you don't have to do all of this stuff on your first launch. Start with a $500 ad budget, no affiliates, and one team member with a maximum budget of $500, and your goal is to make $2,000 to $3,000. Double your money. There's this belief out there that the only way to make it, the only way to be massively successful and have a great business is to do these, million, quadrillion dollar launches right out the gate and become a six-figure business in 6 months or less. Listen, I get it, right? It happens. People are out there doing it all the time. But I've also worked with clients who slow burn and slow build up and create really stable systems. You don't have to kill yourself to have an incredible launch on day one. Instead, why not find a way to launch that feeds your soul, that makes you happy, that doesn't rely on caffeine and Chipotle to get you through the day? I used to jokingly say like that was my life. And truthfully, I still love me some coffee and Chipotle, but I don't need it to operate. And I did back then. And I just want you to know that like this is possible. It's one of the things that inspired me to get into this business and to work with people. And it's still one of the things that I find the most satisfying when people tell me they quit their job or they took a weekend off and spent it with their kids or they got enough money to, do something they'd always dreamed of. Or they, I worked with one client who cut their one-on-one in half and they're like, I have time to spend with my son again. And that's what this business is. At the surface, it's how to have a five-figure challenge. But deeper than that, it's how to launch and support the life you want. And this was a launch where I came back to, what is the life I want? And, it's a financially rich life. I'm not afraid to tell you that. I like to do financially well for myself. But it's also a life where if I want to be lazy in bed all day, I can. If I want to go out, I can. So I just hope that you get something from that. I know that that was a little long-winded. I know that this is a longer stream of consciousness episode. I'm fully aware of that. But I want to kind of wrap it up here by saying something and giving you a little bit of insight. So when all was said and done, it was a $173,000 launch with 125 of that being projected profit. But we actually didn't do as well as we did on our last launch in terms of conversions and earnings per lead. We actually wanted to be a little bit closer to $200,000 based on our numbers. And, you know, in our last launch, we kind of came up a little short too, and that made me kind of defeated. In our last launch, I came out the other side a little defeated. I, you know, publicly talked about how great it was, and it was great. And I wasn't, you know, defeated to the point where I was like, you know, quart of ice cream in bed crying, you know, watching, you know, The Notebook. I wasn't there, but I was a little bummed. This time when our launch ended, I wasn't bummed. I was like, yeah, we came up a little short, but we did this big debrief. We figured out that the real reason we didn't convert well was that facilitation aspect worked incredible for my time, but it didn't make it as clear as I wanted that this gap existed that we needed to fill. And so instead of having a big breakdown this time, I was like, dudes, biggest launch ever. Six figures in projected profit. Like, we had a six-figure profit launch. Like, how freaking awesome is that? I'm so stoked on it. That was so cool. And I want you to know that no matter what happens with your launch, we set big goals. And I finally realized that this is how I would rather be. I would rather set really big goals and come up short, because coming up short on this big goal that I set was my biggest launch ever. Like, just think about that for a second. Coming up short on our big goal was our biggest launch ever. So as you start to set big goals, as you start to stretch yourself, as you start to go big, you're going to come up short. You're gonna miss goals. You're gonna miss the mark sometimes. But I would rather miss the 100-yard mark shooting for it than hit the 10-yard mark knowing that I could have made it to 50, 60, or 70. So just something to think about. I was always, you know, I had this awful saying, I won't even say it, but I used to be very much like, set small goals, meet them, and you can always get bigger later. And now I'm very much like, let's set big goals. Let's go all in. Set big goals, you guys, because coming up short on a massive goal oftentimes supersedes the small goal you wanted to set. And so the big theme from this launch, I promise I'm wrapping up the episode. This is one of the longest ones I've done in a long time. The theme of this launch was really just stretching yourself. Doing the things that have always made me uncomfortable or unsure or nervous resulted in the best launch ever. Giving away responsibility to the team and not worrying about it. Bringing in affiliates, even though I had an internal resistance against it. Letting my team take over. Being a facilitator instead of just a teacher. Getting team structures in place and not panicking when they fail or we have an issue. You know, stretch yourself. Do the things you wouldn't normally do. Do it in a way that still lets you live your life. And I tell you guys, I know it sounds funny, but like walking away from this launch for 2 days was terrifying. I thought, oh my gosh, what if it fails? What if it doesn't work? But you know what? I didn't die. Nobody died. Everything was fine. I was able to take a couple days off during the launch, recharge, and it allowed me to come back and show up more powerful than ever. So, you know, I hope that you got a ton of value out of this episode. I referenced various resources in here. So if you head over to heartsoulhustle.com/56, again, that's heartsoulhustle.com/56. You can check out the show notes. We'll get some of this information up there. You know, just I hope you guys like these episodes. And I would love if while you're over there, leave a comment and let me know if you like these longer form episodes around launching, if you like these more stream of consciousness episodes. You know, you guys already know this. I'm a big experimenter. I basically wrote down a few key topics, pulled up our big debrief document, and just kind of riffed with you guys. And if you like this and this is something that resonates with you, let me know. We can do this with some of our bigger promotions, whether it's affiliates or launches. But the only way I know if you love it or hate it is if you tell me you love it or hate it. So head over to heartsoulhustle.com/56. Drop me a comment. Let me know if this resonates with you, if you like this style, this very free-flowing stream of consciousness, review what I learned type style, or if you hate it. So again, heartsoulhustle.com/56. We are coming up on like 45 minutes of content. So I'm going to call it here. You guys, I hope you have an amazing rest of your week. And until I see you next time, keep hustling, keep working, but don't forget to enjoy your life. I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.